Second part of the show starts now, and I'm calling it The Color Purple. You may remember, I guess it was a couple years back, I discovered purple sweet potatoes. And we were in Florida at the time, actually. I went to Josh's Organic Farmers Market in North Hollywood, and we found purple sweet potatoes, and we were staying in a beach house, and we used a microwave to cook them. Now, I'm not a fan of microwaves. We don't own one in the house, but when we're traveling, we do use it. And amazingly, these were delicious. I couldn't believe how wonderful they were. And then I was on a search to find purple sweet potatoes. Do you know the acronym for purple sweet potatoes is PSP? Yes, it is. Sometimes just PP. I'm laughing saying that out loud. But sometimes it's just used in research reports, scientific reports, sometimes refer to purple sweet potatoes as PSP or just PP. Okay. Now, I discovered a number of things about purple sweet potatoes. They're kind of hard to find, and you really have to look for them. And a number of people had emailed me about where I might find them. You can Google purple sweet potatoes and find them online. Even jet.com will deliver organic purple sweet potatoes for you now. They are available online if you cannot find them in your stores. So I did a little research and learned a little bit about purple sweet potatoes, particularly the Stokes purple. So purple sweet potatoes have been around, just not very prevalent in the United States. And there have been Japanese varieties and other varieties in other countries. The purple sweet potato, the Stokes purple, actually was propagated by Mike Sizemore. And he originally worked in catching car thieves for the state government in North Carolina. And North Carolina is the largest sweet potato producing state. Did you know that? They're not only just unfortunately producing a lot of pigs, but we don't want to talk about pigs today. We want to talk about sweet potatoes. And he won a prize for his sweet potatoes. These were just regular sweet potatoes, the yellow-orange variety. And some woman gave him some deep purple sweet potatoes when he won that prize back in 2003. And he ended up propagating them. And he created a purple sweet potato variety that he trademarked. And he got a patent for it. Now, I'm not someone who really likes the idea of getting patents on food, because food is food. How more profound can I get? I'm kind of uncomfortable with patents. But there is a patent on the purple sweet potato by this particular guy, and it's now getting more and more available. So I just picked up some Stokes organic purple sweet potatoes at Whole Foods, and I'm enjoying them quite a bit. Have you had purple sweet potatoes yet? So I heard about purple sweet potatoes. That's fun to say, isn't it? Purple sweet potatoes. I heard about sweet potatoes recently when I was working with the Food Revolution Network on their 7th annual Food Revolution Summit. And Dr. William Lee talked about the benefits of purple sweet potatoes. And there have been some studies a couple of years back where the compounds found in purple sweet potatoes may kill colon cancer stem cells and limit the spread of cancer. Well, whoa, my antenna went up when I heard that. Killing stem cells? So if you're familiar with cancer, stem cells are like the root of the cancer. Just like when you're trying to remove weeds from a garden. And, you know, I don't want to knock weeds, because some weeds are wonderful plants. But some of them are very persistent when you don't want them in your garden. And the real key is to get them at the root to try and keep them from spreading. And the same thing is with cancer. The stem cell is the root, and there are many treatments like surgery that don't always get at the root. And then years later, or months later, depending on how aggressive it is, you may have a recurrence. So the study is interesting. It's not entirely a proof about purple sweet potatoes. The studies were done in vivo and in vitro. In vitro means in like a test tube, and in vivo means on a live species. This particular study that I'm referring to tested purple sweet potatoes and purple sweet potato extract on mice. I'm also not a fan of animal studies, but sometimes when the results are interesting, I take notice. And this particular one was one of those studies that was particularly interesting. So some of the magic ingredients in purple sweet potatoes, anthocyanins. Anthocyanins, that's a fun word to say, right? And chlorogenic acid and resistant starch. We talked about resistant starch many times on this program, and this is the wonderful thing in all potatoes that give a great health benefit and have been shown to reduce the risk of colon cancer in particular. Well, this particular study, it's in the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry, and it was published in December of 2015. Anthocyanin-containing purple flesh potatoes suppress colon tumorigenesis via elimination of colon cancer stem cells. You can check that article out, or at least the abstract. I think you have to buy the whole article if you want to get all the details, but it's very encouraging. And purple potatoes, I love them. So it's like a bonus that they have the potential to kill stem cells, right? Now, the question you may have next is, what's the best way to prepare sweet potatoes? And this is not just purple potatoes, but any color. You can bake them, you can boil them, you can fry them. There are lots of different options, right? Well, frying is not the way to go. When you fry any food, you're using a very high temperature, and that's the best recipe to create cancer-promoting acrylamides. When you're eating sweet potatoes, especially to reduce your risk of cancer, you don't want to cook them at such a high temperature that you create acrylamides. So frying is a no-no. Now, the question is, you want to bake them or boil them or steam them? And I've read that boiling may actually be the best way to retain the antioxidant power as compared to steaming or roasting. And baking as well, compared to boiling. The boiling actually helps thin out the cell walls and gelatinize the starch, which may enhance the bioavailability of nutrients. And at the same time, the glycemic index of boiled sweet potatoes has been found to be only half that of baking or roasting. I think that's why baking and roasting potatoes taste sweeter. But you know, the bottom line is baking, boiling, steaming, they're all incredibly healthy ways to get the benefits of sweet potatoes, and you can choose any one of these methods. Just don't fry them or deep fry them, because that will lead to the formation of the acrylamide. So I like to make sweet potato toast. Now, you may have seen the sweet potato toast videos go around Pinterest and other social media platforms where you slice a sweet potato, and this can be any color, yellow, orange, purple. And you slice it, sometimes lengthwise is what I've seen, in like quarter inch wide or half inch thick slices. And you put them in the toaster and you toast them until they're cooked, which takes about 5 minutes for a slice. And I tried it, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. But I found it really inconvenient because I want more than two slices of the potato. I like eating the entire potato. And when there are other people around, you want to feed them all. And I like to serve everybody all at once. So what I end up doing is I slice the potato or several potatoes. I put it on a parchment-lined baking sheet, and I bake them for about a half hour. Now, I've read that ideally, I usually use 400 degrees Fahrenheit to bake my baked potatoes, sweet potato toast, all those things. If you cook them at a lower temperature, like 350, you'll have to cook them a little longer, but they'll stay moist. And it really depends on what you like. Now, some people might say that there's some acrylamide that forms when you're baking. And the interesting thing is, I think the temperature for acrylamide formation is somewhere around 250. I'm not sure the exact number. But if you stuck a thermometer in a lot of these foods, especially the ones that are wet, they don't reach the high temperature of the oven. They stay cooler. So there's really less likelihood of forming acrylamide or much that would cause any problem. Now, there's other interesting things about purple sweet potatoes. They're not just delicious and healthy, but they're actually being used for food and beverage colors. And I found this fascinating. For a few decades now, there have been people fighting against the artificial colors and flavorings and artificial anything in so many of our prepared food products. And artificial colors can be very unhealthy to consume, especially for children who are consuming perhaps more of them in their candies and other kinds of prepared food that have bright colors in them. Well, sweet potatoes, purple sweet potatoes, are a new kind of coloring, and it's good for you. It has antioxidant-rich substances with health benefits. So this is a great thing. The only thing that I don't like about is this is going to be competition for all of us who want to eat our sweet potatoes rather than have them used in colorings. But here's the thing, and here's where I like to connect the dots. If we all consumed a plant-based diet, that means mostly plants, if not all plants, in our diet, and stopped raising animals for food, we would have lots more landmass to grow more sweet potatoes that we could use for eating, that we could use for food and beverage colors, and there might even be some left over for extraction for medicinal purposes. So the bottom line is, stop eating animals, stop raising animals, and we'd have a lot more landmass to do beautiful things, beautiful purple things. Now, these same purple pigments, you find them in other purple foods like those deep purple or black carrots, and they also are being used in the food and beverage industry for colors. And what is that ingredient that gives us that gorgeous purple? It's that anthocyanin pigment. And they are using PSP, that's purple sweet potatoes, PSP. They're using them in fruit drinks and vitamin waters, ice cream and yogurt. And apparently using this as a pigment, it has a very neutral taste, which makes it beneficial because it doesn't conflict with the foods that it's being used in. And have you ever heard of carmine? Carmine has been considered a natural coloring, but I haven't been a fan of it because it's extracted from cochineal insects. So it's from the shell of the cochineal insect, and it takes 2,500 bugs to produce 1 ounce of cochineal extract that's used in ice creams and yogurts and candy beverages and other foods. And it's also in lipsticks. When I first started looking for cosmetics that were natural and didn't have artificial ingredients in them. I wanted them to be vegan. And some of the redder colors I didn't know for a while, but then I learned were colored with this carmine, this insect color. And this is where PSP, purple sweet potatoes, can be advantageous. Now, apparently the PSP anthocyanins, that's the pigment, that's also the ingredient that fights the cancer. They're hard to extract, and they're looking for better ways to process the purple sweet potatoes for the color. And I've been reading, and it says that byproducts of this process include starch and fiber, and they're always looking for what can we do with the byproducts we want. Now, you could compost anything, and that would be beautiful. But some are looking to use the byproducts in animal feed. And when we're connecting the dots and trying not to encourage the consumption of animals by people, this could be a little problematic. It can also be used in biofuel production. So there are lots of things that we can do with purple sweet potatoes and the byproducts of using purple sweet potatoes as a coloring. I'm fascinated by it all. All right, so let's talk about something related to purple sweet potatoes and other foods that have these bright pigments that give lovely colors to food and can also be used as food coloring. What happens when you have some of these foods and you spill them on your clothing and you get stains? There's lots of information on the internet about how to remove certain kinds of stains. And I'm a big believer in having certain things in my home. My chem lab is very small. It consists of water, baking soda, vinegar, hydrogen peroxide. I also have a little alcohol. And that's about it. And when it comes to stains, I'm going to tell you a secret. The most important ingredient for removing a stain and using natural ingredients that aren't going to harm the environment. Are you ready for this? The secret ingredient is time. I mean, T-I-M-E, time. I've removed the most difficult stains by allowing them to soak in some kind of solution with detergent and maybe some other things over a day or 2 days. It's amazing. It just takes time. But we live in a society where everything is in a rush. We have to slow down sometimes if we want to do things right. So I just had this fantastic yellow, bright yellow stain on a light blue sweater that I love. And I was very sad because I love this sweater and I wanted the stain to be out. And so the stain was on the front of the sweater and somehow I got it on the sleeve. And I'm thinking to myself, this must have been some food that I was preparing that had turmeric in it. And the fascinating thing, I kind of like to play with some of my chemicals in my little bathroom lab, peroxide and vinegar and baking powder. When you change the pH, and what's the pH? Raise your hand. pH is the measurement of acidity or alkalinity of a water-based solution. So when I get the stain wet, in an acid environment, the stain may be yellow. And when the environment gets a little alkaline, it turns more red or purple. It's kind of fun to put something on it like baking powder and make the stain environment more alkaline, and it turns kind of red purpley, and then I'll throw vinegar on it and it'll turn the color back to yellow. Now, some say that if the stain is actually acid based, when you put an acid on it like vinegar, you'll set it And I can't say that I've experienced that. You'll have to try and experiment at home. But what I like to do is wet the stain, put my laundry detergent in it, and I use a plant-based soap detergent with no animal ingredients. And then I'll pour, depending on what it is, I'll pour a little white vinegar on it. Sometimes I'll pour a little hydrogen peroxide on it, which is a very mild acid. White vinegar is a little stronger. And then I might let it soak. Sometimes if I don't see anything happening, I might change the chemistry and put a little baking soda on it. Baking soda and vinegar together can work. One's basic or alkaline and one's acidic. But the key is to let it soak. I have a little small tub. I fill it with water, put the detergent in there, and let the vinegar or baking powder or baking soda, whatever I've used, I let it sit on the stain. And lo and behold, after a period of time, usually I let it go overnight. Sometimes I have to like rinse it and start again. The stain goes away. So the key is to be patient. I think just like in reducing risk for disease, we like to use certain foods to prevent disease and reduce risk. And I think the key with stains, first off, is to prevent them, sometimes by wearing clothes you don't care about when you prepare food or wearing an apron. I don't always pick up those good habits and I get a little sloppy, and that's how the stains happen for me. But I've got a way to get them out. So some of these acid-base indicators, curcumin, which I mentioned before, is turmeric. It turns from yellow at a pH of 7.4 to red at a pH of 8.6. And then anthocyanin, which is the plant pigment that we find in purple sweet potatoes, red cabbage, and other purpley red foods. I remember Dr. Michael Greger putting out a post on his website, nutritionfacts.org, and he was saying that you could use the juice of red purple cabbage, red or purple cabbage, or the cooking water, and you could pour it in your toilet bowl and you could urinate. And depending on the color that it would change to, you could see if your urine was alkaline or acid. There are people that talk about how you can monitor your health and see your digestion and what you're eating, whether your urine is alkaline or acidic. The ideal is you want it to be slightly neutral, maybe a little alkaline, and it varies during the day. And I don't know that you want to waste your purple cabbage water on trying this, but it was kind of a fun article that he wrote about. Yes, so there we go with sweet potatoes, purple sweet potatoes, stains, anthocyanins, killing your stem cells. That's a lot to digest, isn't it? So I hope you take the time with regards to the first part of the show to write to the EPA and sign the petition to stop GMO mosquitoes. We need more information on them before we let them out to bite all of us. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. You can find me at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Send me your comments and questions to info@realmeals.org. Enjoy your purple sweet potatoes. Have a delicious week.